Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Joy Powers. Of all of the cabinet secretaries who took office at the outset of the Obama administration, only one served until the very end, or almost the very end. Former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack resigned as Secretary of Agriculture a week before Donald Trump's inauguration.
Trump has appointed former Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue as the next Ag Secretary. Perdue has not been confirmed in that role yet. Lake Effect food contributor Kyle Cherrick talked with Lake Effect's Bonnie North about the impact the Secretary of Agriculture has on all of us, plus the intersection of agriculture and immigration and the reception that Perdue's nomination has gotten.
I can say with great authority that the vocal aspect of rural America that is tied into agriculture is a business. So the Hoosier Ag News and those sorts of publications are not happy at all with the current president, that he took as long as he did to name somebody. There's a fair amount of discontent with Sonny Perdue being picked, and something we can get to a little bit later. But when you have a voter bloc that unequivocally so strongly supported you, typically the first thing that a candidate would want to do, or one of the first things, was to make sure that their needs felt they were being met as a recompense for the enthusiasm. Somebody invites you over, you write them a thank you note.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't happened from their perspective so far.
So what don't they like about the nomination of Sonny Perdue? What is it about him that they are thinking this is not a good choice for us?
I think one of the things that I've gleaned, I shouldn't say I think, one of the things that I've gleaned is that he comes out of Georgia, a southern state. Now, there isn't a bias necessarily towards southern states. He was a governor. He is a veterinarian. They like that very much. He owns several agricultural businesses. Georgia, let's remember, is that so much agriculture comes out of there, from the tomatoes that go on to your Pizza Hut pizza to the turkey that you very well may have enjoyed at Thanksgiving, and a myriad of other things. It's one of the largest purchasers of herbicides and pesticides, as well as seeds from Monsanto. So it's a huge ag state. So understanding how that works is one thing that, you know, the sort of ag contingent is very excited about. The fact that he tends to have, the feeling is he has a large bias towards big ag, and almost solely. All of his businesses are in that direction. And he's extremely, extremely hawkish on immigration. Now, Georgia isn't as affected by immigrants working in their agricultural industry as some of the other states are, for instance, Texas, California, of course, and even Wisconsin. If we didn't have Mexican, primarily Hispanic immigrants here, we would have no dairy industry, so to speak, or folks to work in it. So there's some misgivings about his directives towards big ag and subsidies and enforcement in that direction. And there's misgivings with the administration simply that it just took too long. There's a great quote from a gentleman by the name of Gary Marshall, who is a D.C. attorney who was instrumental in garnering rural support for President Trump as he campaigned. And his response to there not being a Secretary of Agriculture named expediently was, "I would say there has been anguish across rural America." So it's not just hyperbole. There are people whose livelihoods and you know, billions of dollars flow through in small trickles through their community that are really not that happy with this president in him not focusing on those things. Some of the other issues that come up with, and it's interesting, with the current president's campaign promises, which he seems to want to make good on as they impact agriculture, is, well, first, immigration. American agriculture relies on immigration. We'd have no California wine. We'd have no Christmas trees. We'd have no green leaf lettuces of any sort. We'd have no fruit. I mean, it's just a key aspect of it. The other one is the tariff issue. We are a massive trading partner with so many countries, primarily through agriculture. The numbers are just boggling. So the Department of Agriculture's budget is $130 billion. We trade with almost every country in the world through agriculture. And the agriculture, for instance, that comes up from Mexico, the strawberries that you can buy in January, President Trump is talking about a 35% tariff on that. So if you like giving your kids baby carrots in their lunch, or if you enjoy a tomato on your salad at any time other than when you grew one in your garden, just plan to pay 35% plus probably another markup on this side for those things. It's also an interesting topic in that Monsanto, which is the world's largest seed producer and provider, is about, well, a hop, skip, and a jump away from being bought by Bayer, which is a major German international company. They will essentially then be a foreign company. They're presently based in St. Louis. Based on the president's perspective, should all of those jobs, how do they come back? how do we re-import all of those jobs when they're owned absolutely and completely by a foreign entity? So there's a lot of conflict within the agricultural community of how is this going to play out? Is this really a priority by this president? Does he understand it?
Well, and also, if you don't have somebody in charge of a $130 billion department, then things are kind of – there's no direction.
That's right.
From the top, you're not getting your policies set up in a way. And I confess that I was not aware that it was that big, that it was that kind of an agent, that kind of a budget dent. And I couldn't have named without having to Google it, you know, because it doesn't affect me directly.
Yet it does.
Yeah.
The State Department folks and the Secretary of Labor and so on and so forth, those are the big, not sexy, but interesting, our brains click and say, oh, labor, that makes sense. The Secretary of Agriculture oversees the farming industry completely, meaning price support, subsidies, food inspection, and food safety for the public. 40 million Americans are currently receiving food stamps. That is the Secretary of Agriculture's domain, as well as inspection of facilities, as well as food safety, as well as if there's one little drop of bacteria on grapes and there needs to be a recall or in whatever capacity, that's all of that flows up to the Secretary of Agriculture. Should any of your listeners not eat one meal a day, then they are exempt from any concerns relative to the Secretary of Agriculture's domain. But should anyone at least eat one meal a day, then they fall underneath great influence from this person and how they delineate and lead and prioritize this department. When we think about price support, high fructose corn syrup is in nearly everything. That was in part because of the ethanol subsidies, but then the food business got on top of it. Previous Secretary of Agriculture's embraced that as a way to get more corn grown in America. When we've talked about organic labeling and how it's really a marketing label, and that came out of, really didn't happen until 2001, that was the Secretary of Agriculture at the time. When you think about how many farmers markets are kept track of, or whether Doritos can label certain things as natural or not, because the red in the flakes that make the Doritos sort of orangish red come from bugs that are in fact ground up, but they are a natural source, that's the Secretary of Agriculture. It's not the Food and Drug Administration. So this is wide-reaching, and you're exactly right. When you have got, we're leading into springtime now, subsidies are probably completely in place and haven't changed. I think it would take the secretary to change them for seed buys and so on and so forth moving forward. But when you've got 1,200 acres of arable land and you're hoping to get X amount of price based on that, you're buying a $400,000 piece of equipment or piece of equipments, these things, and employing a lot of people and so on, these things are concerning. And within your community, you know, that does create jobs, that does create tax base, that does create. So it's an interesting time within our country and within agriculture, and not many folks within the greater media are talking about this.
Right. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think there will be too much pushback to Mr. Purdue? Or, I mean, there doesn't seem to be anyone else in the pipeline.
No.
There was a possibility.
Yeah, there was a, and I'm forgetting his name, there was a very viable candidate with Hispanic background out of New Mexico or Texas, didn't make the shortcut. Sonny Perdue is an interesting character in that his brother is a U.S. senator. I think he'll be confirmed. I think he'll be confirmed really without a whole lot of issue within the Senate and the House. He's more conservative and lockstep towards big ag than I think we've ever seen in a Secretary of Agriculture, but he isn't all that controversial. The one thing that may come up is that when he was the governor of Georgia and they were in a drought, he held a prayer meeting on the steps of the state capitol and essentially said, we need to pray for forgiveness because we've been wicked and that's why we're not getting rain on this state. I disagree with that based on how I understand the Constitution, and so do a lot of other people. But short of him having another prayer meeting on the steps of the Capitol or what have you, I don't think there'll be a great deal of conflict. I'm not particularly keen on his perspective relative to GMOs, whether it's relative to herbicides and pesticides, and relative to regulation. He's a low regulation, strangely enough, high subsidy. Because I think he came out of appreciating those with his agribusinesses, sort of guy, and who thinks in terms of if you got to feed a lot of people, you got to grow a lot of stuff. In simple logic, that makes sense, but it's certainly not the only way. And we saw how that went when we sent our agricultural knowledge over to India and essentially decimated millions of acres of what could have been productive farmland.
So, interesting times ahead.
Interesting times ahead. I just hope that everyone that hears our voice the next time they order a salad or bite into a banana or, you know, I don't know, saute a steak, they think about how much effect this one person in the cabinet can have on their lives.
Kyle Cherik, thanks so much.
Happy to be here.
Kyle Cherik hosts Public Television's Wisconsin Foodie, and he's a regular food contributor. He spoke with Bonnie North.